You see, this is the thing everyone's missing. All these apostasy watchers, all these people writing about the apostasy, they're missing the main thing that's going on here. Whenever you read what people say, that you want to write about the apostasy, that you're going to find the two same errors over and over again. First of all, because they all believe the lie of eternal security. And because they believe eternal security, they don't believe it's real Christians falling away, right? They teach that the great falling away concerns primarily the unsaved masses. How's an unsaved mass going to fall away? From what? From what are they falling away? Or they say it pertains to professing, that is, phony Christians. Well, how's a phony Christian going to fall away? What's a phony Christian going to fall away from? Secondly, they teach that the apostasy, the great last days apostasy, is an abandoning of our Christian culture, of our Christian practices, of our Christian ideas, our Christian doctrines, our Christian concepts. Both these things are errors. First of all, a person who's not a Christian cannot fall away from faith. And anybody who believes they can is nutcase. You belong in a sane asylum. You're not using your brain. Your brain's under the influence of an illogical, unreasonable spirit. Right? Second of all, Paul didn't use the term apostasia to denote an abandoning of all things Christian or an abandoning of all things spiritual. You know, like he wasn't saying that God's people in the last days are going to forsake their churches and forsake their church programs and their spiritual activities and their spiritual experiences. They're going to return to their pagan lifestyle. He's not saying all these people are going to go back to the life of drugs and life of murder and dope and rape and all that. He used the term apostasia to signify a massive departure from the truth. That's what apostasia means. A defection from or a forsaking of the truth. And that's exactly what we see happening all around us today. Christians are abandoning many of the truths laid out in the Word of God. In their quest for big numbers or in their quest for supernatural power or whatever, they're casting off the restraints of the Scripture. They're going out far outside the boundaries of the Scripture God's established for our own protection. And one of the most important truths they're abandoning is a scriptural view of redemption, the scriptural view of salvation, the true gospel. The scriptural view of salvation is what I've been defending and explaining in this chat room for almost 2 years now. And it has a lot to do with the truth that there are requirements for salvation, two of which are, of course, are repentance and obedience. But there's other requirements beside that even. But you go with just those two. Just take those two, repentance and obedience. You go into any church in any time you like and tell a pastor you believe that the Scripture teaches that we must obey God in order to be saved. Believing is not enough. We must obey God in order to be saved. And watch their reaction. Unless that guy is one of the increasingly rare exceptions, he's going to reprimand you in a very condescending tone for thinking you can be saved by works. You see, the fact is, and this is very hard to grasp and absorb and walk in the reality of it. The fact is the majority, the vast, vast, vast majority of today's scholars, of today's preachers, of today's Bible teachers, inside the system, outside the system, it does not matter. They are part of the great end time apostasy. Not because they turn their back on God and are out there drinking in the bars, they're out gambling at the race course, they're out smoking dope, they're out laying around with the women, but because they rejected the truth the Scripture teaches about salvation. They rejected the true gospel. They've accepted this false gospel and are promoting this false gospel of grace that equates the idea of required obedience, of us having responsibility with trying to earn salvation through self-effort. And that mindset produces disobedience and rebellion. I don't care what anybody says. It produces disobedience and rebellion. When a pastor stands up behind the pulpit and tells his people that all they have to do in order to be saved and go to heaven is believe in Jesus, and then he assures them that after they have believed in Jesus, no amount of sin can negate that salvation. If the people take what he says seriously, he has just succeeded in placing their feet squarely on the path of eventual destruction. They will be destroyed in the end. Now listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11 3-4. This is the first century, people. The first century. All right. 2 Corinthians 11 3-4. But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Okay, it's very important that we understand in the last days, this apostasy is not about God's people backsliding and going back to the racetracks and the bars. It's not about God's people becoming pagans again. Paul talked about Christians receiving another gospel, another Jesus, even back in the first century, okay? This is what we're dealing with in the last days, the fullness of what you're seeing right there. That was a kernel. That was just a seed. That was just a little touch of what's going on. We're dealing with the full revelation, the full outcome of it now. That's what we're dealing with. Genuine believers will receive, they are receiving, another gospel after they have received the true gospel. They will receive, and they are receiving, another Jesus after they've received the true Jesus. They're receiving another Spirit after they received the Holy Spirit. That's what's happening right now. That's the apostasy. That's what it means. I say again, the last day's apostasy is not about God's people rejecting all things Christian. That's such a childish, immature, and stupid way to look at it. All right? It's about people, God's people, departing from true spirituality into a false, counterfeit spirituality. It's about them departing from the true God to a counterfeit God who is posing as the true God. It's about them departing from the Holy Spirit to another spirit that is posing as the Holy Spirit. Those caught up in the apostasy are not leaving their churches or renouncing Christianity. They're falling from the true gospel to another gospel, from Jesus Christ to Antichrist. That's what's happening. That's what the apostasy is. Because the counterfeit's so perfect, though, and it's so hard to discern, these people don't realize what's happening. They continue to be religious. They continue to keep reading their Bibles. They attend churches. They continue to evangelize the world. They talk about God nonstop all day long. They go to religious conventions, and they hear the hottest Christian ministers, prophecy speakers, whatever. They can follow all the Christian fads, latest fad, read the latest Christian books, listen to their favorite Christian music. They stay involved in Christian activities and ministry all their lives. Their whole life is just consumed with God and Christianity and the things of Christianity. But they're no longer following Jesus. They're following another Jesus. They're following Antichrist. And one of the things that opens them up to that is this false gospel. There's other things I'm not talking about tonight, but one of the things that opens you up to that spirit is a false gospel, is receiving a false gospel, a false understanding of what the gospel is. And they're following another spirit, and that spirit takes a seat in their lives and becomes God to them. And eventually they become desolate. The temple becomes desolate. That spirit drives the Spirit of God right out of their lives in the end. It's perilous times we're in, folks. It's perilous times we are in. In Matthew 7:21-23, Jesus says this: "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And they will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Okay? See, God's interested in what we work, what we do, how we live. And if you're working iniquity, I don't care what else you're doing, you're going to be in trouble when you stand before God. If you're not walking in righteousness, I don't care what else you're doing, you're going to be in trouble when you stand before God. Righteousness is the issue. True righteousness is the issue. And everything the devil's doing is designed to destroy that righteousness in God's people. And if what I'm saying to you about this Antichrist spirit and how many people are deceived and how many Christians are going to hell, that seems all too incredible to believe. It's only because we really don't take the words of Jesus seriously or the warnings of the apostles seriously. We really don't. We read them and it goes over our head, or we read them and it doesn't really sink in. Here, Jesus clearly warned that it's possible for Christians, these people weren't pseudo-Christians, I mean, these people are Christians, to become so deluded by demons that without their realizing it, they end up serving Antichrist instead of Jesus Christ, which is exactly what's happening right now to hundreds of thousands of people. He warned us that many people, would stand before him one day and come to this horrible realization. You're going to say these people, they prophesied, they cast out devils, they didn't believe. Their whole life was Jesus. Their whole life was Christianity. That's all they did, was Christianity. And yet they're cast away at the end. And when they stand before God, they're going to be bewildered. Just bewildered, because in their mind, they haven't left the Christian faith. They haven't become apostasy. They didn't join the great apostasy. They didn't apostatize. They didn't go back in the world. They didn't go back to drinking. They didn't go back, join a Mormon church, or anything like that. They've been serving God and doing what the Bible says. In their mind, they didn't do an apostasy. They're going to say, what are you talking about, Lord? I don't understand how you can say that. That's how blind you're going to be, all right? The term know there, I never knew you, it's not a reference to head knowledge, right? It's a reference to spiritual union. Know means union. So these Christians, while they've been running to and fro, talking and preaching about Jesus, evangelizing the world, creating revivals, etc., while they've been doing all these sorts of mighty works and manifesting supernatural power in Jesus' name, their whole lives have been wrapped up in the things of Christianity. They've actually been in union with another spirit, a false Jesus. Another spirit is not the Holy Spirit. And if we don't want to wind up like those people, we must not allow ourselves to come under the influence of any of these revelations or teachings or these concepts that these seducing spirits are spreading like wildfire these days, especially when it comes to defining what the true gospel is. Anyone who accepts a false gospel or a perverted gospel, even after they accepted the true gospel, is going to end up like those people. Now, Matthew 26, Jesus said this. I'm almost done. In Matthew 26, 40 through 41, Jesus said this. He's in the garden, and he went to pray to the Lord, his Father, and then comes back and finds his disciples are asleep, right? He says, and he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Okay? So at the most important moment in the life of the Lord, his ministry, the very people he loved the most, the very people he spent all his time training and preparing, they failed him. They couldn't offer him any spiritual help, any spiritual support. They couldn't even pray for him because they couldn't stay awake. Right? He came and found them sleeping. He says, hey, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. Watching and praying was their responsibility. Not the responsibility of God, not the responsibility of Jesus. They had a choice at that moment to do what the Lord said, which is watch and pray, or give in to the very strong desire that they must have been having at that point to go to sleep. Now, of course, sleep is not a work of the flesh, and sleep is not sin. You know, sleep was given to us by God to rejuvenate our bodies. But in this particular case, something very proper and something very legal, like sleep, became a hindrance to what God had for those disciples in the Spirit. It would be God's will that they stay awake and pray for Jesus, even they didn't know what was going on. But, of course, they chose to give in to the desire of the body, the sleep, and the result was, you know, they were not prepared for the trial that was just about to overtake them a few minutes later. That trial overcame them instead of them overcoming that trial. See, in Matthew 26, 55, it says this, in that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, are you come out against me with a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you laid no hold of me. But all this was done that the scripture of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. All the disciples forsook him and fled. They all were overtaken by a spirit of fear. Why do you think they were overtaken by a spirit of fear? You think it had anything to do with the fact they weren't watching and praying? You think if they'd been watching and praying, a spirit of fear might not have overtaken them? And they might not have run away? I think if they'd been watching and praying, you'd have read a whole different situation in that account. I mean, they couldn't have saved Jesus, but they wouldn't have fled. They wouldn't have been overtaken by the enemy. The enemy won. They weren't ready. They had a battle face. When they faced it, they fled. Because they didn't carry out their responsibility to watch and pray. Watching and praying is one, just one, of many of the responsibilities God has placed on our shoulders. And like everything else in this walk, we need his help to carry out that responsibility properly. We can't do it in our own strength alone. Nobody says we can. Nobody says we should try. However, we still have to do it. And God holds us accountable if we fail to do it. Okay? He holds us accountable if we fail to do it. Once we choose to do what he says, he helps us. He's there to help us. But we have to make that initial choice. See, God will help us to obey him. God will never, never cause us to obey him. That's the difference between a true gospel and a false gospel. If we do our part, he will help us. It's just that simple. If we don't do our part, if we don't watch and pray, guess what? We're going to enter into temptation just like they did. We're going to face a battle just like they did. And we're going to find we're not under the protection of God, and we're going to lose that battle. That temptation is going to overcome us just as it overcame disciples because they didn't do what God told them to do and what they had the power to do. They had the power to choose to start watching and praying. And once they made that choice, God would have come along and helped them stay awake. They had the power to choose to obey or not obey. And that's the power we all have. And all these doctrines, are designed to convince you that you don't have a choice, and God's do it for you, that it's all by grace, and you can't do anything, and at any time, all your personal effort is just religious works and trying to establish your own righteousness. This is what's going on all throughout Christendom. Inside the system, outside the system, this is a worldwide plague that is deceiving hundreds of thousands of people, and many Christians, in the end, will end up in hell. We are not eternally secure. We are secure as long as we're walking in Christ, abiding in Christ, and doing what he tells us to do. We can fail at what he tells us to do. That's not the issue. The issue is not we have to walk in perfection and never fail. We have to be trying. We have to be attempting. We have to be giving our all to do what he says to do. And if we fail, he forgives us. But if we're not giving our all, if we're not making the right choices and choosing, just sitting back waiting for him to cause us to do this and cause us to do that, you're going to end up deceived and in hell probably. I don't care if you're Christian 5 years, 5 minutes, or 50 years. Nobody is out of reach of that devil, that angel of light. And nobody's out of danger. You're not going to be out of danger until you got your new body. All right? After that, we can all relax. After that, we can all relax, and we'll have a big party in heaven, and we're all relaxed, all right? But until then, it's a war, it's a danger, and there's a certain amount of fear of God and a certain amount of respect for the enemy that we must walk in every day. And the devil's job, the devil's desire, is to take that fear away, because once he does, you're open season for the demons, and you end up in deception, and good chance you end up in hell. Wherever you turn, it's the same thing over and over again. It's just a different angle, a different way of expressing it, different theological point, but it's always the same thing every return. They're all preaching the same false grace, the same Antichrist gospel that's designed to take away your responsibility, take away your part, make you a passive Christian that will not fight, will not strive, will not do your part, so you won't come into what God has for you, because you must do your part to attain the destiny God has for you and me. We all got to do our part. Even if it's only a small, dinky little part, we got to do it. Even if it's 99% Jesus and 1% us, that 1% will send us to hell or take us to glory, depending on what we do with it. So it's a very serious hour we're living in. Many people are losing it. Many people are blowing it. Many people are being deceived. And I just don't want anybody that I'm connected with or fellowship with to end up like that. Okay? So I just keep on presenting it, because everywhere you turn, you're hearing the doctrine of the devil. So I think every once in a while you got to hear a doctrine of the Lord. It'll offset that. Counterbalance it, all right? Okay. Jerry says Don Cowan's Institute of the Christian Religion, that's what his system was. It was for a Christian religion, it's not the kingdom of God. Amen. And that's what we had today, an institution of Christian religion made by men, opposite of eternal life. That's right. Amen. That's right, Joe. K-Man says, I came late to have, yes, DSL. I just got it this week. K-Man, that's why it sounds better. Yep, just got this week. It's wonderful to have DSL. I mean, it's just wonderful. Now, I'm sure I won't have to spend 3 hours pasting my little message together tonight before I put it up on the web. Oh, looks like Mama got something. You want to share something?
Yeah, yeah.
Hang on a second. Looks like the Mama wants to share something.
Hi, everyone. I really appreciate this message Dan had tonight. You know, I was reading today in the 24th chapter of Matthew, and after Jesus told everybody about what was going to happen during the tribulation period, you know, I think any true Christian that's walking any place with God knows that we're headed towards the tribulation period, and pretty fast. And after he told them some of the things that were going to happen at that time, he said that he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Now, he could have said, don't worry, you all endure to the end and be saved. But he said, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved, implying that it's possible that people won't be that strong enough in him and have the full armor of God on to stand against all the wiles of the devil that won't endure to the end. So we're coming into a period of endurance. We're really coming into a period of endurance, and we have to have on the full armor of God if we want to stand against the wiles of the devil. And that's, he said, in the evil day, that in the evil day, this is the evil day. And he said, put on the full armor of God that you might be able to stand in the evil day against the wiles of the devil. Implying that if we don't have on the full armor of God, we may not be able to stand. So it's, I was reading that today, and I just wanted to say that about enduring to the end. So we are coming to a period of endurance, and we have to have on the full armor of God, I believe, with all my heart, in order to endure what's coming on the earth.
Okay, amen, amen. That's right, amen. I agree with what she said. Okay, we've got Rich. Go ahead, Rich. You got the mic, brother.
Everybody hear me? Lord bless you all. Daniel, I'd like to read one of the scriptures that you read, and the Lord showed me something there. It's something that you've actually mentioned before, but I think it's something that we all need to hear. And it's 2 Corinthians 11:3-4. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh and preacheth another Jesus, whom you have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might bear with him. One thing about it, and you've mentioned this before, Daniel, was when Adam and Eve were in the garden, they were perfect, and yet they were beguiled through that subtleness of the enemy and the lies and the tricks. So, and I also just want to confirm what Annabelle said. We need to put on the whole armor of God. We need to fight against the enemy. We need to stand against the lies. And we need to check our walk daily with the Lord and make sure that we're in his will and walk in the Spirit. Anyhow, I hope this isn't off the subject, but Lord bless you all, and I appreciate you too. I'm so thankful for the brothers and sisters here. I feel so one, and I get a lot of fellowship from it. Thank you very much.
Amen, brother. Well, thanks for sharing. That's good. That's a good scripture. Amen. That's right. Very good. Thanks for sharing. No, it wasn't off the subject. It's no problem. Anybody else like to add anything to it? Okay. Nothing? Let's see. I'll try and sing a song for somebody. Somebody requested How Far We Walk. Let's try this one. See if anybody has anything to share after I sing. Okay?
How far will you walk in obedience, my son? All the way to the cross. I desire thy will and not my own. All the way to the cross. My steps are ordered and planned by thee. You know the way that I cannot see. Hold my hand, Lord, and walk with me all the way to the cross. My son, all the way to the cross. I desire thy will and not my own, all the way to the cross. Steps ordered and planned by thee. You know the way that I cannot see. Hold my hand, Lord, and walk with me all the way to the cross. How far guidance, my son, all the way to the cross. I desire thy will, and not my own, all the way to the cross. My steps are ordered and planned by thee. You know the way that I cannot see. Hold my hand, Lord, and walk with me all the way to the cross. My steps are ordered and planned by thee. You know the way that I cannot see. Hold my hand, Lord, and walk with me all the way, all the way to the cross.
First song, yeah, that's right, it was. It was the first song I taught Judy when I was down at your house. Amen. No problem. Okay, anybody else have anything? Anything before we shut her down? Somebody says it's sobering when you think about all the great men of God who started out with truth but failed in deception. Yes, it is very sobering. It's very sobering. And every time you run across somebody or you're involved with somebody that falls, if you are oriented properly, you're not proud and arrogant, that should just put a more determination in you to not do the same. I mean, it's you can't stop people from making choices, from falling, from going away and all that kind of stuff, but it can make you more determined every time you see it, which it does me. Every time somebody I know falls, every time I've seen the devil take somebody I love out, just makes me more determined to overcoming. Just makes me more determined to run the race and overcoming. Kamen says that has a lot to do with pride. Amen. It does. Absolutely. The ones we have to watch most are ourselves. Amen. I agree. Amen, Sonny. Well, anybody want to take a shot at the mic before we close? So share something? Sonny says, I'm going to get on the mic one day. Okay. And Joey, we're still waiting to slay that chicken. Joey says, someday. Someday soon. Oh, okay. No problem. All right, folks. Well, thanks for coming. Thanks for sharing. And we'll see you next week. All right. God willing, and the river don't rise.